I'm sure I've gotten this wrong many, many times myself. Now, there's a time to be bold, all right? There's a time to proclaim the gospel and just power it through, okay? And then there's a time to do this in the context of relationship. When we power the gospel through, when we force it on somebody, it looks a little bit like some of these memes I'm sure you've seen. Let's take a look at this one. Excuse me, sir. Do you have a moment to talk about Jesus Christ? What about the next one? How about the next one, fellas? There we go. Excuse me, sir. Can you spare a moment for Jesus Christ? And then I think we got one more. I love this one. Excuse me, sir. Do you have a moment to talk about Jesus? I think sometimes when we force the gospel on people, that's the way they feel. That we're being intrusive or we're just downright scary. It's like you're just a little bit crazy, which is okay, all right? But we got to be careful that when we're being bold, we're not being over the top and pushing people farther away. Now, we can be over the top in our love for people, be over the top in our servanthood for people. But to force them, okay, to force a message on them is not respecting the relationship. So, I can't punch you with the gospel, but I can have a relationship with you and share the gospel. I've said it a million times. You can force feed people like this, or you can feed them the gospel like this. It goes down a lot better. If you punch me in the mouth with a ham sandwich, I might eat it, but it won't be nearly as good if you'd have just handed it to me, all right? Okay, so we understand this. We want to be bold. Now, if I'm a fireman and I don't tell you there's a fire in the building and I let you walk in, I'm not a very good fireman. If I'm a doctor and I don't tell you that you got some bad test results back today because I don't want to hurt your feelings, I'm not a very good doctor. If I'm a disciple and I never point people to Jesus, I'm probably not a very good disciple. But we've got to figure out how to do this in a way that is encouraging. Sometimes when we get shared the gospel for the first time, it's a little bit scary, all right? Jude even says it. Some people are scared, saved by fear. When the message of the gospel is shared with some people, it just scares them to death. That was me when I was a little boy. I remember in church, I was scared every Sunday that I was going to be the next one that got killed on the way home from church. You remember that message? Anybody grew up in church? If you die on your way home tonight, where will you wake up? My goodness gracious. Woo! Like, I'm going to get saved. My pastor counted me 9,000 times that I got saved when I was growing up. That's okay. I'm saved today, right? It worked. But I can't go around just scaring people. I got to have a relationship with people. Matthew 28:19 says this, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Mark 16 says this, "And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone." Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, what do these three passages have in common? They all happened right at the end of the life of Jesus. Just before he is going to heaven, he tells us, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He says, I want you to be a witness for me everywhere. I want you to start right where you are. I want you just to take it from here and just spread it all over the world. It was important enough. This message was important enough to Jesus that he saved it to the end so we wouldn't forget it. He wanted everybody who knew him to know, listen, this is what it's all about. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel, make disciples, witness to everybody. Start here, take it there. He made sure that he emphasized the point, you have to share this message. But here's the problem. You ever see that kid at the carnival or at Disney World or somewhere? He doesn't even know he's lost from his parents. He's having so much fun. Only the parents are panicking. This kid's just running around, and the parents are the ones that go find the security guard and say, hey, help us find our kid. And he says, oh, I know exactly where he is. He doesn't even know he's lost. He's over here in line just having a ball. That's the way we're looking at the world today. When we look at the world today, we're looking at people that don't know that they're lost. So if I run in and start beating them up with the gospel when they don't even know they're lost, they don't even know there's a new way, I'm probably not doing that the way that Jesus wants me to do it. He wants us to be a witness for him, to be evangelistic, to be bold in the context of relationship. Now, there might be moments when God tells you, go across the restaurant, tell that guy this scripture, and that there's a heaven and a hell. I'm not going to tell you that's not going to happen. More than likely, the people in your life that God wants you to be a witness to, the people God wants you to evangelize, the people that God wants you to be bold with, are people you have a relationship with. As Christians, we are not very good at continuing relationships with people who need Jesus. The statistics say the average person gets saved and 3 years later they have no unsaved friends. They cocoon in the church and they don't have any unsaved friends. So we have to do what Jesus did. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. I love that. So Matthew understood there was something about Jesus that was special, all right? He understood something was going on in this guy Jesus, and he invited Jesus and his disciples and a bunch of tax collectors, which everybody hated, all right? And I love that we use disreputable sinners. That'd be this crowd right here I'm looking at this morning, all right? But when the Pharisees saw this, these are the religious people, when they saw this, they asked his disciples, they didn't go to Jesus, they go to his disciples, and they say, why does your teacher eat with such scum? Wow. No relationship there. They're just seeing people that are lost and undone and messed up and disreputable. They're just seeing people that are in trouble. When Jesus heard this, you can almost see Jesus like, I'm just listening. You realize I have bionic ears, don't you? When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. Then he added, now this is where it gets good. And then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Wow. When I came to Christ and when you came to Christ, it was that moment we realized we were at the end of our rope. We had nothing else to offer. We needed Jesus. We understood where we were, where we needed to go, and we understood we couldn't get ourselves there. So when I want to share the gospel, if I do it in the context of relationships, if people know I care, they're much more likely to listen. It's important that we make sure that we don't just go around telling a bunch of truth. I always get a little bit amused at people who said, I told them the truth. But did you show them love? That's just as important as the truth. The Bible teaches us that we can tell the truth, but we got to tell the truth in the context of love, not to put them in their place. We see a lot of that nowadays. We see a lot of it on social media, and we could go on down that path. But we see a lot of people that are being arrogant about their faith and pointing out the sins of other people. I love what one person said. I don't have time to hate your sin. I got to hate my sin. I got too much sin to hate as it is. I need to work on me. And I'm going to love you, and we'll just work on our sin together, and we'll get beyond it. Jesus said, I didn't come for those who think they're righteous. I came for those who know that they are sinners. The people who understand they need me. So when I'm building relationships, when you're building relationships with people in your life, we're not doing it to manipulate somebody. We're doing it so that we can just very simply love them, and when the opportunity comes available, to invite them to church, to offer them some prayer, to help them out around their house, to do something when their loved one passes away that will help it be easier for them, to share the gospel very directly. This is what the Bible says. When that moment comes, if I have built a relationship with them, like Jesus did with Matthew and all those other tax collectors and disreputable sinners, if I've built the right relationships, not so I can get them to do what I want them to do, so that I can do what Jesus told me to do, which is three things, okay? Here's what we have to do, three areas of boldness that we have to be involved in or have to be operating in our hearts and lives so that we can see others change. Here's the first one, bold love. If I'm going to be a witness for Jesus Christ, there has to be a bold love in my life. Matthew 22, one of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with it, with this question. So these self-righteous folks, the Pharisees, were trying to trap Jesus so they could catch him in breaking their law. He said, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind." He said, that's first. This is the first and greatest commandment. And second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. He said everything in the Bible comes down to these two things. Love God and love people. If I'm going to be an example of Jesus Christ, if I am going to share Jesus to other people, the most important thing I will ever do is to love people. I'm going to love God. That's the vertical. And then I'm going to love people. That's the horizontal. I'm going to love the people in my life, not because they're good, but because God told me to love them, because I remember who I was or where I would be without Jesus. The easiest way to forgive somebody is to think about what others have had to forgive you of. When I'm really upset with somebody, I go, you know what? But I did that same thing one time. I did that to somebody, and I had to ask their forgiveness one time. It sure helps me, helps motivate me to forgive. Now, our challenge to love people is not going to be easy. Now, when we want to be a witness for Jesus Christ, we just accept people, first of all, the way they are. Now, we're still going to call sin, sin, and we're all of that, okay? But we're going to love people right where they are. I think last week I talked a little bit about fishing. I still like fishing this week, all right? There's an old saying that you can't clean a fish before you catch it. You got to catch it first, then clean it later. Here's the beautiful thing. It's never my job to clean a fish anyway. Jesus said, "I'll make you fishers of men." My job is to love people. God will do the cleaning up. God will be the one that convicts a heart of sin. God is the one, the Holy Spirit is the one who draws people in. It's not my job to force somebody to change anything. My job is to love them, and when the opportunities come, and God will make sure I know when those opportunities are. When those opportunities come, I need to be ready to share the gospel. Share the gospel. Share the gospel. All right? Paul gives us some great instructions in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children." He said, imitate God. So what did God do for you? He died on a cross. He sacrificed for you and me. And then he says this, live a life filled with love. As believers in Christ, let me say it this way. It has never been more important that we love people than it is right now. People are watching you and me. They're deciding about Jesus when they see us. Wouldn't it be ashamed if I was not filled with love, but I was just intent on proving my point about something that is earthly and temporary, and I was so angry and mean about that other people saw me and went, "I don't want any of that Christianity thing. If that's what Jesus does to you, count me out. If Jesus just makes you angry at everybody, I don't need it." We have to be so careful right now that we love people, that we truly love people. That we love people who have the same political views that we do, and we love people who have the opposite political views we do. That we love people with our skin color, and we love people that have a different skin color. And we love people on this side of town and that side of town, that we just love people. We gotta have bold love. Love is always followed by action, okay? We're going to get to that in a minute. Here's number two. We have bold influence. We, you and me, every one of us, everybody has influence in somebody's life. Everybody has influence in somebody's life. Somebody in your life cares what you think about them. Somebody in your life cares what you're thinking, period. They want to know what's going on. They want your approval. They want your acceptance. There is somebody in every one of our lives. Now look at what it says. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. So then he changes analogies. And then he goes to, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. He said, so your job is to be influential in this world. You're to be salt and you're to be light. When people encounter me, what do they see? When people encounter me, when people encounter you, what do they see? Are we flavoring like salt? Are we flavoring this world? Or are we just a bad taste in everybody's mouth? Are we lighting up this world? Or are we making it darker? He gives us these two. He said, your character, our character is a reflection of either darkness or light. We have to decide which one we want it to be. Now, look, being light takes a lot more work than being dark. If you turn the lights off in your house, you don't have to pay an electric bill. You turn the lights on, they are sending you a bill. It costs something to be light. The candle doesn't burn down. You don't have to replace the candle if you're going to sit in the dark. But if you want some light and you light the candle, eventually you got to replace the candle. You got to keep putting back in. It costs something to be light. But what do I want to do? Do I want to be darkness or do I want to be light? What kind of influence do I have in my life and in the lives of people around me? Now look. Let's ask this question. Am I being darkness or light when I talk to people around me? Am I being darkness or light in the way I handle offenses? Or the way I handle being offended? Am I being darkness or am I being light in my private life? Am I being darkness or am I being light on social media? Am I being darkness or am I being light at work and in traffic and at the counter at Walmart and everywhere I go and when the food is slow at the restaurant? Am I being darkness or am I being light? I have purposely given large tips. Now, your big tips and mine might be two different things, all right? You may be giving a lot more money than I'm giving, all right? I'm not saying how much it is. I have purposely given bigger tips when I get horrible service. Because I'm like, they are obviously having a bad day. And I need to be some light in their life. They have not made my last hour pleasant. But am I going to be darkness or am I going to be light? The difference between a believer and a disciple is how they use their influence. A believer just says, I'm good. I'm just going to do what I want to do. A disciple says, I'm responsible for more. I got to be a light in the world. I need to be the salt of the earth. I need to use my influence properly. Here's number three. Bold servanthood. This is where love really shows up in action. 1 Corinthians 9 says this, when I'm with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone. This is powerful. He says, I try to find common ground with everyone. You know what he's saying? Even when I'm around people that are not like me, I'm looking for the end. I'm looking for the way that I can become a servant to them. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, the Apostle Paul talking, doing everything I can to save some. You know what he's saying? My whole life is about influencing people for Jesus. He said, I'm just looking for the opportunity. And then he says this, I do everything to spread the good news and share in his blessings. He's like, look, I'm looking for the way in. I want to find a way. I want to find a way. Now listen, I understand. There are times in our life when we're very purposeful about this and we feel so good about it. And then life happens and things get us off track and we forget about our neighbors and our coworkers and our family. And we start doing exactly what Jesus told us not to do. We start looking inward and we're so focused on us and trying to deal with our own hurt and our own pain. And there are moments in our life when we just need to pull away. The Bible says, just be quiet and know. Just be still and know that I'm God. He's like, just shut down all the activity and get some healing going on so that in a moment, in a week, in 3 weeks, you can come out of that and you can be an influence for Jesus Christ and you can serve your neighbor and your coworker and your family, and you can show them what Jesus would do if he were here right now. In a courtroom, a witness is summoned to give a testimony. In your life and mine, we are summoned to give a testimony. Jesus said he wants us to testify, right? He wants us to tell what God has done for us. You may, and I may never understand every word in the Bible. Somebody might ask us a question and we go, Honestly, one of the most freeing things that has ever happened to me is when somebody, I think it was an older pastor, gave me permission to say, I don't know. People ask me questions about the Bible I never even heard. I'm like, I don't know. I do not know. This has been my whole life trying to, but I don't know about that one. We'll just have to talk to Jesus when we get there, all right? But here's what I can tell you. I can tell you what God did for me. I can tell you in detail how God has showed up in my life. I can tell you in detail how God has rescued me. I can tell you in detail how God has forgiven me. I can tell you the moments in my life when God showed up in gigantic ways. That's what a witness is. That's what a testimony is. When a witness is brought into court and that witness refuses to testify, charges of contempt are filed against him. Basically, the judge is saying, how dare you come in here, you know what happened, and you refuse to tell us. You're going to get punished for that. When I stand before Jesus one day, will he hold me in contempt for not testifying when the opportunities were there? I don't want anybody to leave here feeling guilty. I want us to leave here feeling motivated to share this testimony. What has God done for you? You don't need to tell God to anybody what God did for me. Tell them what God did for you. Your testimony and my testimony are totally different. There was a time in my life, it's been a long time ago, okay? I have long since won this battle. long time ago, I would hear people tell testimonies of, I was in jail and I was smoking crack and I was shooting people and Jesus saved me. And I was like, man, I wish I'd have shot somebody. I wish I'd have smoked crack for 20 years. Stupid, all right? I wanted a dynamic testimony. I wanted that testimony that just says that God just dragged me out of the gutter and just did miracles in my life. That's not my testimony. I've never smoked crack or shot anybody. I still got time, but I'm... No. That's not my testimony. Your testimony and my testimony are completely different, but somebody in your life needs to hear your testimony. They need your story. When somebody comes to me and they say, I need to know how to quit drinking every day. Alcohol is controlling my life. You know what I do? I pick up the phone and I call John Funderburg. And I go, John, would you call this guy? Because that's not my testimony. We're in this thing together. Why would I ever hide what God has done for me? A disciple is evangelistically bold. I'm going to be honest with you. The other day I stole a t-shirt out of the closet here at church. It says, I have decided. It's supposed to be for baptism. I got baptized 1,000 years ago. I stole a handful of t-shirts, all right? And I was wearing one, and I was in Home Depot. And I'm just going about my day. I think I saw John there that day. And I think I walked by John and didn't recognize him, and then I got to the end of that aisle, and this lady from Home Depot said, what have you decided? And I was like, I don't know what she's talking about. And for a minute, I was like, and I stood there like an idiot for a minute, and she said, your t-shirt. I was like, oh, yeah. I decided to follow Jesus. And she still looked at me like I was an idiot, but I didn't care. And then I talked with John for a few minutes, and then I was going to check out, and somebody else asked me, so what have you decided? And I was like, I'm ready now. All right, I got it. I'm with you. Listen, there's not every moment of your life are you going to just have some eloquent way of sharing your testimony. There are going to be moments when it feels a little herky-jerky, but you still do it. You still love people and share with them and encourage them and just pour into people's lives. And there's such a joy when you've poured into someone's life and they eventually give their heart to Christ. And you see their life start to go from believer to disciple. Nothing more gratifying ever. But it'll cost you something, as being a disciple always does. If you don't know Jesus this morning, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want you to know him. The Bible says it's as easy as ABC. We admit that we've sinned, we believe on Jesus, and we confess him as Lord. That's where it is. Just give him our past. Lord, forgive me of my past, my sins, my wrongs. Cleanse me. I know who you are. I know you're the Son of God. I know you died for me. I know you rose from the dead. I'm putting all my faith in you. I'm putting my trust in you. I need you. If you don't know Jesus yet, I want you to know him. I want you to surrender your heart to Christ. And just pray that prayer. Just pray that prayer in your own way. Lord, I'm just ready to start following you. I'm tired of doing this my own way. It's just not working. I'm not finding what I'm looking for. I'm ready to give you some room in my life to work. And I believe he will. He'll meet you there. He didn't die on the cross to hold you at arm's length. The Bible says while he's knocking, if you open the door, he will just come in. So he's knocking this morning. Let him come in. If you don't have somebody in your life right now, to everybody who is a believer, going from believer to disciple, maybe you're already a disciple, but you don't really have somebody in your life that you are loving and serving and influencing on purpose. On purpose. I'm going to give you a suggestion this morning. I think you ought to pick out five people in your life. If you don't have these five people, then pray that God will help you find them. Five people in your life that you are praying for, that you are serving, that you are loving, that you are influencing for Jesus. So that every time you think about them, you're praying for them. When the opportunity shows up, that you're saying, hey, why don't you come to church with me? Or you're saying, what can I do? What can I do to help your situation? Can I mow your yard? Can I bake a cake? Whatever. I'm just going to serve and love and influence. Five people. I dare you to pick out five people. Jesus picked out a whole lot more than that, so we're going to start easy. We're just going to start with five. And just ask God to show up in our lives. I want you to stand with me. Am I being darkness, and am I being light? What am I doing? God has a plan. God wants to use your testimony. He didn't allow you to go through those difficult times for no reason. He has something that He is doing in your life and mine. We just got to cooperate with Him. Lord, I just thank You so much today for all of Your blessings, God. I thank You, Lord, for every good thing in my life. Lord, I thank You, first of all, most of all, that You love me. In spite of my sins, in spite of my failures, in spite of not obeying You sometimes when I knew that I was being disobedient, God. Thank You for loving me, God. Thank You for the testimony that I have. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. God, we want to be an influence for You, Lord. We want to love people and serve people and influence people in a way that points people to You, Lord. That Lord, that when they see the way our lives are lived, not perfectly, but when they see the way our lives are lived and they see the blessings that You have poured into our life, that they would say, I just want it. I just want that kind of life. I want that kind of relationship with God. I knew there was more, and now I see it in action. Lord, help us to live in a way that other people will want that love and want to know You more. And God, we thank You for all You're doing right now. We give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give Him some praise.